Welcome to Renewed by the Word with Pastor Edwin from Redeemer Church, Miami. We are glad you can join us today. Please grab your Bibles as we walk through the Word of God together this morning.
Well, church, good morning, and it is good to be back with you once again. I know, I want to say a special thank you to Pastor Alex, who filled in for me the last 2 weeks, two Sundays ago. I just woke up feeling a little strange, not myself. And I wondered, we've had a couple of staff sick here at the preschool and they've gone home right away, but you know how it is when you crisscross with folks. And so woke up feeling a little strange and I had one of those little test kits at the house and it came up positive right away. So I don't like being sick. I don't know about you. I wasn't gonna sit around to wait and see what this feels like. I went straight to the hospital. They gave me the Regeneron IV and I was good 48 hours later. So I wasn't going to mess around with this thing. But once again, it's just a reminder to be safe, be smart, and just be careful out there. This new variant that's out there is very sticky, and we just have to be safe and smart and vigilant, but not afraid. Christians are not afraid, and so we have to make sure that we balance out being safe and smart with fear, and we cannot allow fear to invade us or govern our lives. So that's kind of a touch on myself. Please pray for Dad. Dad got this new variant that's out there. Hasn't even been announced on the news, the doctors told us. And it's really just attacked his lungs. So he's still in the hospital. He's about on day 11 now, give or take. So pray for Dad. He's older. He's been through a lot with his cancer. So it's taking him a long time to heal, but he is healing. So we praise God for that. So please keep my father in your prayers. And he, as you know, works alongside me on the Spanish side of our church. Well, today is kickoff weekend, and we know it's different because of the pandemic and people are kind of afraid and coming and going, and we welcome those who are online. We began on Thursday with our men's Bible study via Zoom. Friday night, we relaunched the youth group again, kind of got that going. We had a bunch of kids out here having some fun. And then yesterday, we distributed some bags around the community. Thank you for those of you who brought stuff in throughout the week. We packed that and handed that out. And then today, we just celebrate. There'll be some food next door for you. There's only 3 tables set up in the cafeteria, so there's plenty of space there. If you want to be out in the courtyard and munch out in the open air, feel free, but it's there for you. Some pizza, some good little breakfast munchies, some lunch munchies. So, you know, don't run out. Go over there. But it's basically our kickoff weekend signaling the start of our fall schedule. We have a bunch of activities coming up in September, October, November. So it's kind of like the kickoff to all of that going on with, along with the start of school, as it typically is. What I love to do on kickoff weekends and kickoff Sunday especially is to kind of circle back around to the foundation of our church. Because sometimes churches have the bad habit of just kind of going on this long, winding road of sermons and messages, and you kind of forget about why are we here and what is it that we are about, especially our church. And so Redeemer Church Miami has these 3 key words that I want to introduce you to, and then I'm going to walk you through the text here very quickly. I'll read it for you in just one moment. We are a church where we create a space where you can explore the Christian faith. Then you can experience a transforming relationship with Jesus Christ and then extend that same hope to the rest of our community, city, and nation. Explore, experience, extend. So that's kind of what our church is about. And every kickoff weekend, once a year, sometimes new season weekend in January, we kind of come back down to our core. So remember what we are about. And then the text that I'm going to read to you in just one moment is foundation of everything we do here. So if you've ever wondered why we do what we do and why we preach how we preach and why we study the Bible as we study it and, you know, why we do the activities that we do, you're going to understand it in just about, you know, 15 minutes or now, you'll kind of get it. So this text that I'm going to read to you is Luke chapter 4. If you have your Bibles or if you want to grab a blue one in front of you, those are the ones in English. If you want to look it up on your phone, feel free. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 22. Gospel of Luke. Chapter 4, verses 14 to 22. It'll be behind me here in the church, and it'll be for those of you at home. It'll be on your screens here in just one second. If I could ask you to stand with me for a second as a show of respect to God's word, we'll read the text, and then we'll jump on in. This is the word of God. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. And we'll stop there, church. Let's pray for a second. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can pause on this beautiful Sunday morning to lift up your awesome and holy name. Thank you that we can lift our voices to you in worship and in praise, joining our voices to the voices of the heavenly choruses singing around your throne right now. What a privilege. Thank you for that. And now, Father, as we look into your word, I pray that we would see Jesus come alive. I pray that the Holy Spirit would do a miraculous work of power here today, that we would understand the gospel in a more profound way, in a more simple way, in a straightforward manner, so that we can see how your salvation impacts our lives every single day. Father, we love you. We thank you for Jesus who makes all this possible. In his precious name we all pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. So for the last 2 weeks, again, I have to say thank you to Pastor Alex, who was here. And we had started a message series looking at the church. And that very first message was the church's meal, which was Communion Sunday about 3 weeks ago. He walked us through one of his favorite texts, kind of the passion in his heart, which is John 3:16. And he talked about being born again and salvation and the interaction with Nicodemus. And so he kind of gave us an umbrella way of looking at what salvation is and what it does, how it separates us for eternity. Now, this text, you can see, is more grounded. This text is actually taking you into what does salvation look like every single day. For who is it? For who is it? And then the different reactions to Jesus. You can see all three in the text. Now, before we arrive in the text, we need to set it up this way. You need to understand very quickly what has happened leading into it. What has happened leading into it is that Jesus has been baptized, Holy Spirit poured down upon him, voice from heaven, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The Trinity at work. You see all three personalities of the Trinity there at work. Then the Spirit itself leads him into the wilderness. And a lot of people say, well, why is he going to go to the wilderness to get tempted by the devil? Well, God is testing his own son to make sure that his son, and not to make sure because it's already known, but it's to solidify the fact that Christ is committed to going to the cross of Calvary for you and for me. So very quickly, and I'll just remind you what they were. Temptation number one, stones to bread. A lot of people think that this has stuff to do with eating and, you know, was he hungry, is he tired? It has nothing to do with that at all. It has to do with this. Will he trust his Father in heaven to provide? Or will he use his own resources selfishly for himself? Stones to bread. So the question for us becomes the same thing. Will you trust God to provide when things go bad? Will you trust God to meet you in that dark, hard place when you look around and you look at your checkbook and there's no answers in the checkbook? Because that's where we always look first for help. We go to our checkbook, we go to our bank account very quickly, and we can do it on our phones, right? Oh, do I have enough? Will you trust God or do you continue to trust the bank? Who is it? And do you selfishly use your resources for yourself and do you not use them to bless other people? Case in point yesterday, right? For those of you who gave, thank you. There's going to be another opportunity to give. For those of you who packed backpacks, we gave those out on Friday. They took them over to South Miami. I posted about that. Maybe some of you said it or not. Thank you for that. That is using your resources unselfishly. That's thinking of a child, thinking of a poor person on a corner who has nothing today. Because the big jar of water, the big jug of water that we gave them yesterday probably ran out yesterday afternoon. You're going to go home to a full refrigerator. They are not. They're going to go back to being under a bridge or in a bus stop. Now do you understand? So when the devil tempts Christ, this is not about, oh, look at how Jesus overcomes and Jesus is such a great example for me to overcome temptation. It has nothing to do with it at all. It has everything to do with teaching us a very powerful lesson. Will you trust God to provide when it goes sideways? And do you use your resources selfishly? So that's the first part. What was the second temptation? The second temptation was very simple. You know, worship me and I give all this to you, Jesus. Right? They kind of think of it in beings that are way beyond us, right? They can see the earth all at once. And the devil is like, if you worship me, I give it all to you. The way that I equate that is, For those of you who have kids, maybe you've driven through the drive-thru at BK. I love the double Whopper cheese, one of my favorites. I always do that after church every Sunday. That's just so you know, it's my little snack, my little reward for having survived it another Sunday. And sometimes the kids ask for the little paper crown. Have you done that? Have you gotten that for your kids, the little paper crown? That's exactly what the devil is offering Jesus, a little paper crown. That's what he offers you. Every time he says, don't trust him, trust me. Don't trust him. Now we start putting them together. Trust your bank account. He is saying, hey, I'll give all this to you, and I'll put a little paper crown on your head. That's all he has to offer you. He has nothing else to give you except a paper crown for Burger King. That's it. I'm not criticizing Burger King, okay? Just using the example. That's all he has to give you, a little paper crown. And you know what the sad part is? That more than half of humanity is satisfied with a paper crown. What does that say about us? What does it say about you and me sometimes? When we are more satisfied with this small little reward. Oh, I'm so glad I got a bonus. I'm so glad that I got this new contract. It'll be gone in 2 seconds. All they have to do is change your mind and rip up the piece of paper. And it's gone. Don't trust in paper crowns. Don't trust in the nonsense that the devil promises you. Oh, I'll give you all this. He has nothing to give. And that's what Christ, we see it in him. And he gives us that. And then the last one was this. Jump from the top of the temple. Do the spectacular, Jesus. And a lot of churches have fallen prey to this. More spectacular, more bigger, louder, funner. But is it about being a spectacular Jesus jumping off the side of a temple and letting the angels slow down and landing like a superhero? Or is it about a spectacular message? The gospel that changes people. What's it going to be? Are you going to entertain? Or are you going to give people the gospel? Which one is it? And in your own life, this is the danger where you ask God to perform for you. Lord, I've been so faithful. Lord, I've given so much. Lord, I've given so much of my time. How could you let this happen? You're asking him to perform. You're asking God to jump off the top of a temple for you and land in the hero stance and say, aha, you see, you perform for me. You are my hero coming to the rescue. He doesn't have to perform for you. God doesn't owe you a thing. Let's just make sure we understand that very quickly. Everything we get is by his grace. But then many of us believe that because I've done, then you give. This is not a give and get thing with God. This is I give all of me and I take whatever you will give me, God. So we can't ask him to perform. Because the devil was using scripture now because the angels will not let. Be careful because the devil will twist scripture on you. He'll let you pick and choose little parts that sound nice and sound good. And unfortunately, there's many preachers who do that. Let's just be honest. They take little bits and pieces, they twist them together, and they make the Bible and they make God say things that he's not really saying. And here, you see Jesus rejecting the spectacular. No, they're going to love me because I'm going to sleep under trees. They're going to love me because my pillow is going to be a rock. They're going to love me because they're going to beat me. They're going to love me because I'm going to stand trial and I'm going to be accused. They're going to love me because I'm going to die for them. Not jump off a building and be spectacular. The circus is in town. He's like, they will love me because I will die for them. He will love me because I will show how much I care about them by my sacrifice for them. And so the devil goes off. That was just round one, right? Goes off onto another opportune time, it says. And so I present this kind of introduction to you into the text so that you understand the damage that the devil has done to us. Because when Christ goes into the desert, he is going into the desert as two people. He is going into the desert as Adam. The first Adam, disobedient. The second Adam, will he obey? And then he goes into the desert as Israel. Israel, when she comes out of Egypt, is termed associated with Israel, is son of God. What does Moses say? What does God say to Moses to say to Pharaoh? Let my son go. That's a weird way of referring to a nation. So here you have Jesus, who is the new Israel. Will she grumble? Will she be unfaithful? Will she disobey? Or will she know that God is with her and head off into the promised land? So you have Jesus who is representing these two groups that have failed. So what will the Son of God do now? And what he is facing is the damage that the devil has done through Adam and Eve to all of us. But here is the beauty. Here comes the gospel. Here comes the good news. To the damaged people, Christ comes close. Notice it says here, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. It doesn't say he returned to Jerusalem. It doesn't say he went to the temple where all the good religious people were. He went to Galilee. I've told you about Galilee many times. Northern area of Israel where all the misfits live. The angry ones, the disobedient ones, the mixed blood ones, the ones that none of the good religious pure people wanted anything to do with. That's where he goes first. Jesus addressing the damage that the devil has done. He goes there first to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit guiding everything, and he was teaching in their synagogues. Now, what was he teaching? Here's where we begin to arrive at the gospel. You see, because the effects of sin, the effects of what Adam and Eve did to us as a humanity, here you can use this text to break us up into four groups of people, kind of generically. The poor, the prisoner, the blind, and the oppressed. And if you think about humanity, that kind of sums us up pretty well. So the first thing he does is, the text says, and he's reading from Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me. In other words, he has set me aside, oil poured on my head, Old Testament imagery, to proclaim good news to the poor. So that's the first effect of sin on us. That's the first effect of the devil on us. Now, what does it mean? This is the same exact Greek word that is in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus teaches for the first time. Blessed are the, you've heard me say it before, the poor in spirit. Now, what does that term mean? Very simple. It just means those who realize that they are far away from God. Group of people out there, in our city, in our neighborhoods, your neighbor, in your own family, who realize that there's just something wrong, that there's just a distance there, that they cannot bridge that gulf. They just can't, but they don't know what to do about it. So they're kind of like, well, I guess I'm just kind of cursed to this existence where there's a God out there. I kind of know about him. There's churches on every corner. I hear so-and-so in my office or a so-and-so family member talk about this Jesus, or they like going to church, but I just don't get it. But I know that there's something wrong there. I don't know how to fix it. So I'm just going to go along my merry way and hope for the best. Try to be a good person, and maybe God will take that into account. We know that God does not take that into account. Saved people, not good people, get into heaven, into eternity, into the eternal city.
Thank you for joining us today on Renewed by the Word. Our desire and hope is that your time in the Word with Pastor Edwin will continue God's renewal in your entire person and life. For more information about Redeemer Church Miami and Pastor Edwin, visit their website, RedeemerChurchMiami.org. That's RedeemerChurchMiami.org. May God bless you richly, and we look forward to being with you next week.